Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Have you ever been asked a dangerous question? A question that has consequences? A question that you can't avoid answering? If I do it, will you do it? Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Will you marry me? Is it time to have another kid? These kind of questions that are dangerous. They're dangerous because you have to commit to something. But you can't just avoid it or run away from it, but it's asking something of you. See, in this gospel today, we heard three questions, three answers given. That it begins, Jesus asks this very safe question. Who do other people say that the Son of Man is? Who do other people say? Oh, he's a prophet, it's Elijah. I think often as Catholics, we're tempted to live our life on this level of questions. Questions that ask us about a theological concept. Questions that ask us about what do other people think. We can think about the people we hear about in the news, the people we see on social media, what are they to think about Jesus? All these questions that are external to us. Questions that don't really get to the heart. Questions we can just stay safe, that we don't have to commit to anything. Questions that don't ask of us anything. But notice how Jesus doesn't let it stay there. No, then he turns to his apostles and says, But who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Sure, they'll think what they think. They can say what they say, but who do you say that I am? Just imagine that moment for a second. That Jesus standing before you asking you that question. We don't get a hint if there was any sort of pause, any sort of hesitation in the disciples. Did they kind of glance at each other, who is going to say something? Who is going to step forward? But then Peter, with confidence, with boldness, says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Peter's committing to something. He's saying, this man that I've known, this man that I've walked with, this man that I saw multiply the loaves and the fishes, this man that I saw walk on water, this man who called me out of my boat to come and follow him. That I'm going to say something that if I said it about anybody else in the world would be blasphemy. If I called anyone else God who's ever been around, I'd be wrong. It'd be the wrongest thing you could ever say. But this man that I've seen, this man I've known, I've now come to believe that this is actually the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. Peter is committing to something. There's nothing safe about that answer. But is that the kind of answer we're willing to give to the Lord? Is that the answer we're willing to give to the Lord? Because in my own life, I've come to realize this isn't just the kind of question you answer once. Like, I can think back to when I was in high school starting to grow in my faith, and I've been content to have my faith be pretty safe, pretty to myself. It was kind of just what I did, but I was starting to be asked to step into roles of leadership and have to get in front of other people and talk about the Lord, and it suddenly was this question, Lord, who do I actually say that you are? Who do I actually believe you to be, Lord? Or as I was discerning the seminary, thinking about committing my life and heart to Jesus as a priest, as a, who, Lord, if I don't really believe you're God, if I don't really believe you're the Savior of the universe, then why would I do this? Who do you say that I am? But that's only two questions. And I said there was a third question being asked. You see, the question we don't actually see written is the question of Peter's own heart, of Simon Peter's own heart. There's also the question of our own heart. That when we look to the Lord, wondering, Lord, actually, who do you say that I am? Lord, who am I in your sight? Who am I in your eyes, Lord? And notice, when Peter is willing to take this step in faith, to take this risk, to answer this dangerous question, what happens in response? What does Jesus do? Well, first he blesses him. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. But then he does more than that. He says, and I say that you are Peter, that you are the rock. That Peter wasn't a name that people used before this. It'd be like naming someone tree, which people might do these days. But back then, Peter wasn't a name. He says, no, I believe that you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. That Jesus is speaking to Peter his deepest identity, how the Lord sees him, not how the other apostles might see him, not how he even sees himself, but no, how the Lord truly sees him. Because, I mean, if you've been following Peter's saga, Peter doesn't actually seem like much of a rock. He seems to kind of do the dumb thing and say the wrong thing. Later on, he would even deny the Lord. He doesn't seem like a stable foundation, at least in our eyes. But the Lord sees him. The Lord knows him. The Lord speaks to his heart, his deepest identity. And we're willing to take that risk, to step in faith, to declare, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. The Lord then, in turn, wants to speak to us. Lord then, in turn, invites us into how he sees us. I remember right before my senior year of high school, as I was beginning to discern the seminary, and there were kind of all these things going on in my life and in my prayer, I was on a retreat. It was a time away, and we had a time in silence just to pray. And I was kind of at a loss for what to do in this time of prayer, and was just kind of sitting there, but felt the Lord prompting me to open up my Bible. So I took my Bible and just kind of flipped it open to a random page. And I opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. My eyes fell on verse 24. It was a verse that I knew well. I had underlined. It's a verse where St. Paul says, in the race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. Run so as to win. And I knew this verse. I'd been a runner in high school. I even ran in college. But this verse spoke to me in that moment. I heard the Lord speak in the quiet of my heart. Joshua, the only way to run so as to win is to run is I'm calling you to run. And you've been taking your competitiveness that you have for academics and sports and all these things, and you've been trying to be the best Christian. You've been trying to live your faith so others see it. But I don't want you to be the best Christian. I just want you to be mine. I just want you to be mine. And at that moment, I heard the Lord speaking to me of just who I was in his eyes, that I was his, that I was his beloved in a way that I had not encountered before. And over the years since, the Lord continues to speak about how he sees me, how I am his son, how I'm his beloved son. And he wants to do that for you as well. Because it's not enough for just us to declare that Jesus is Lord. He actually wants to speak to us about who we are in him, to live from this place of knowing authentically who we are in his sight. And this is always personal, just like it was for Peter that he was the rock. That he wants to speak to you personally. In the quiet of your heart, how he sees you and the unique and personal love that he has for you. And I recognize maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe that's something that sounds foreign or strange. Well, my invitation for you today is to stop playing it safe. To not play it safe with the Lord. Because nearly nobody wins when you play it safe. No, the Lord has so much more for you. The Lord has so much more for you. He's ways he wants to speak to your heart. He's ways he wants to move in your life and bless you and bless those around you. Bless you so that you can be a blessing. But nobody wins if we play it safe. If we're not willing to step forward like Peter and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you really are the Messiah, that you really are my Savior, the one who can save me from my sins, the one who can save me from myself, the one who can bring me into new life, that you promised to me, that you are the living God." And so that's never a prayer you've made before, never something you've said before. I invite you in this Mass today to speak that from the heart, to pray that to the Lord. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe, and even maybe if it feels like there, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help the ways I'm struggling to declare that you are Lord in my life. The ways I'm struggling to declare you are Lord in my life in the midst even of the challenging circumstances I'm in. And then once we declare that and pray that, actually then listening, allowing the Lord to speak to your heart, allowing the Lord to bless you, allowing the Lord to invite you into the more that he has for you. Because Jesus wants to speak to you. He wants you to know his love. He wants you to know who you are. So that like Peter, we can walk by faith. Like Peter, we can follow the Lord even to death. And like Peter, we can proclaim Jesus to all that we meet. So open your heart to him tonight. Declare him as Lord. Allow him to speak to your heart about who you are in his eyes. And stop playing it safe.